to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for being with us on this Tuesday morning. 251-343-0106. You need to be in touch with the program. All you got to do is text me, and we will respond to your text to the best of our abilities. Still come on the program about an hour from now. Scott Butcher with the Trustworld Tribute. And in about 2 hours, the chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, friend of the program, John Wall. But joining us now, he is now from the 1st Congressional District. He's my congressman here in Baldwin County. I'd like to bring on the program Congressman Barry Moore. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Jeff, good morning. Glad to be here. Doing well.
Hey, thanks for calling in, and glad to finally get you on. Before we get underway here, you got some new offices opening up over here. Talk about those, if you would.
Yeah, so today we're actually opening the new office in Mobile, man. It's going to be located at 5253 Highway 90 West in Suite I. So make sure that your folks know and your listeners know that we're open there. We've also got one in Foley and one in Baymanette that's open now. And we're going to do ribbon cuttings on Valentine's Day to show the district some love, actually. So we'll be down there on Valentine's Day, February 14th, invite everybody to come out. But just to get to know, we prioritize citizens and we prioritize constituent services. And we're at 5,700 cases we've resolved in 48 months since I've been here. And so we're going to continue to work for the people that will send us up here. And really, a lot of times in D.C., Jeff, people lose. We really work for the American people. We work for our constituents. We work for you. And so some members up here and staff sometimes forget that. But it's always been a priority of mine to be a public servant. And so that's not just a talking point. It is who we are. It's what we do. And so we're open and opening, like I said, just opening up Mobile today and going to cut some ribbons on February 14th. I'd invite everybody to come out, meet us, meet my staff. And if you got any issues, we're going to get you in the system and get to work for you.
Well, congratulations on that. Look forward to hearing about how that goes. Let's get moving here now. I think most of the attention has been focused on what the Senate is doing with the confirmations, and they're really getting the lion's share of the media coverage. You guys in the House kind of moving along too. How you feel about the landscape here in these first, 3 weeks of the Trump administration?
Well, overall, I think that what President Trump is doing is he's getting so many wins just left and right now because he's doing something Biden would not do, and that's to actually leverage our power and put America first. So we are the greatest country in the world. Sometimes we forget that, and I don't think our leadership has acted like that. So from the executive branch side, I think President Trump's doing some incredible things. He's got some incredible nominees that are going through the process, and we've already had some of them confirmed. And then, of course, on the House side, we're working through this budget reconciliation and how do we approach this with one bite of the apple or two. And so we'll see how that shakes out, but we're just trying to make sure that we get it right the first time and we can get things done that the American people expect us to do and cut away some of this wasteful spending and prioritize really what the American people want us to do is putting America first. And so that's what we're doing as far as we go through in the House. And so there's a lot of negotiations going on between the Speaker, certainly John Thune in the Senate, and the President, the Executive Branch. How do we approach this reconciliation to make sure, because it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for us to actually do some things that I think we couldn't do otherwise, but we have the House, the Senate, and the White House, so we need to make sure we move in the right direction on that, Jeff.
And the other things going on, you just had your House Republican retreat. Anything come out of that?
You know, I think probably just the president was there and vice president was there, and we talked a little bit again about the reconciliation process and what that looks like going forward. The president has not weighed in either way whether he prefers a one bill package or a two bill package. We'll see how we go through this process, but for us, it was just the organization kind of getting things prioritized. Each committee broke out and said, here's some areas we can cut spending to try to get this deficit under control. And so we bring those all to the table and go, well, we can do this or we can do this. And so each committee has certain areas of responsibility, and it's our responsibility to bring where we can cut, to bring it to the overall budget proposal and get it in the package. And so we have breakout sessions with that as well, so with all the chairmen. So I think that the takeaway from that is we're working together. We're trying to see what the best plan is and how we move forward, and we deliver pretty quickly. I think the American people sent us a mandate with President Trump and certainly with the Senate. And even holding the majority in the House, I think that it says, hey, we want you to move President Trump's agenda along, and I think it's very important that we do that. And I feel good about the direction right now. Seems like we're working together well. There's always going to be some disagreements within factions within our party, certainly within the conference. But for the most part, we all know we need to get this right. And I think Mike Johnson, to his credit as Speaker, is trying to listen to all sides and bring all those opinions to the table. And where the ideas have merit, we move them into to the bill itself.
Let's talk about some things Trump's doing and, you know, winding down or you know, I guess sort of stopping the business as usual. But USAID, it sounds like he's got his sights on Department of Education, FBI changes. How are you feeling about the Trump administration itself here early on?
Well, you know, I think his nominees are great, Jeff. And I tell you, you know, I serve on Judiciary Committee and will continue to do that. And that weaponization, the FBI and the DOJ, and what they did to the president himself, but to a lot of conservatives in this country, the IRS targeted conservatives. Certainly there was some areas where we felt like the media wasn't really fair and that there were some things that were done. But that weaponization of your actual agencies where you have the FBI and the DOJ and all those people working together to silence the opposing viewpoint. I think that Cash Patel, certainly people that the president has put in place, John Ratliff, I think those guys get it. And I think that we're going to be able to work together with those folks. And look, man, I heard the testimony when Durham came in and gave his report, and we saw where you actually had the CIA director walk into the White House and tell then President Obama and Vice President Joe Biden and certainly the Attorney General that, hey, this DNC Russian collusion narrative is actually just being funded by the Democratic Party. Y'all don't buy into that. And within a few days, call me Rage Trump's house, and they opened this once they bugged General Flynn's phone. So all of that stuff my people were so upset when I got here in 21 about this weaponization and this abuse of power. And so I think the appointees and nominees, once you've been down that road, as President Trump has, he understands the urgency of cleaning that system up to protect liberty and freedom for the American people. And so I think that what he's doing and what he's doing with the nominees and even some people that you'd be surprised a lot of times that he's bringing in, Robert Kennedy to clean up Health and Human Services, those sort of things, I think says a lot about who the man is and picking the right leaders. And he's hiring on meritocracy, you know. And people talk about he did away with DEI, which I think is a great move on his part. But if you look at Rubio, I mean, his parents were first-generation migrants. They would come in from Cuba. The same with Patel. His parents were first-generation Indian immigrants. And so how is it that he's actually putting people in places that you would call DEI hires, but you're hiring them based on qualifications and representing the American people and not some system that just picks based on the box you check is how you identify. And I think it's beautiful what he's doing, and I think it sends a tremendous message, and he's going to put the right people in the right place to fix the problem.
Let's talk about Secretary Rubio. He's getting some W's here. Trump foreign policy, this is the way I kind of felt about it. I talked about this earlier in the program, Congressman. It wasn't that Biden was doing some bad things, you know, that seemed to be kind of antithetical to U.S. policy over the years. But if anything, it was more like a vacuum that the U.S. didn't have a presence, didn't have a role, especially in the Western Hemisphere. And what had happened, it seems like the last, you know, 4 years, the communist Chinese have sort of come in. They came into Central America. They've come into South America. And, like, it looks like Rubio's mandate, or at least early on, is sort of untangle these relationships like Panama, El Salvador, Venezuela, Colombia, or whoever have with the Chinese, because, I mean, that is the threat to our national security. And he's having success here very, very early.
Yeah, I think really those nations just wanted to hear from America. They wanted to hear from somebody who would be a friend, who might make investments in those countries. And the Biden administration, it goes along with all the negotiations on farm products. Everything they did, they hired a bunch of people who they didn't check the box that was qualified. And most of them were getting paid and they weren't showing up to work. And so when you just hire people based on a certain socioeconomical status and they're not really qualified and they're not leaders, then you give opportunities for the bad actors around the globe to go to these countries and say, hey, we'll invest in your nation and we want to work with you, whether it be Panama, Nicaragua, whoever, Colombia, you just name them. And it's now Rubio understands that, hey, these people can be our friends and we can work together to secure our border and protect all our common interests, because in reality, those countries don't want China probably in their land. They don't want them to have a foothold in their land. They don't want communism in their country, but China's coming and funding some deals and putting a little money in, and they'll have a long-term foothold into that country if we're not able to root that out and cut that out. And so it's important, as we free market capitalists in America who enjoys it, we're the land of liberty, we move that out to other countries and we work with those nations. But I think Biden and those guys just ignored them, and China was working overtime. And so Rubio's got his work cut out for him, but he's well qualified, and I think he's doing a good job. He's getting some early wins for sure, Jeff.
Yeah, and it just looks like this is the vacuum that was left behind. Maybe we just didn't realize it, but how much easier, you know, even the immigration problem is going to be to handle now that, the United States has a stronger diplomatic presence globally.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it proves, too, in all these hearings where the Democrats are like, you know, we will work with y'all to fix the border, but we need to pass this law and that law and this law. We didn't need anything. We just needed somebody in the executive branch that would do the job, and that's what President Trump's doing. And it's the same with foreign policy. It's the same with national security. All these things, we've had 4 years of a vacuum of no leadership from Joe Biden right on down to his cabinet, to his administration, who were just drawing checks and not working for the American people. They didn't have our best interest in mind. Many of them probably padded their pockets in the process, and I hope we get to the bottom of that. But for sure, there was a vacuum in leadership. China has been trying to fill that. I think President Trump recognized that. And one thing to President Trump's credit, he's a very fast learner, and you see that this time he's not trusting the system to fix itself. He's not hiring people within the system. He's bringing in outsiders, and I think that's a very, very wise move. It shows the quick learner he is. He's a good study of history, in a sense that he learned from his first 4 years. The people he's bringing in this time are not a part of the swamp. They're mostly outsiders. They don't go along with the system. And I think they'll work with him instead of against him behind the scenes.
And this is something you and I have talked about in the past. And I think when Trump entered the presidency in 2017, he thought that by extending all of these olive branches that people would rally behind him, and he was wrong. I mean, the media just never got over his 2016 victory, and they're certainly not going to get over his 2024 victory. But I think the difference now is, like, this establishment left, he understands that, and there's no sense in, like, appointing a Rex Tillerson. You got to find people who are more loyal, not necessarily to Trump, but that's important, but also loyal to sort of the policy vision. And that's not listened to what the mainstream media or what, like, Chris Murphy in the Senate or whoever is griping about, right? And this is what I would ask you about that. Like, even some of your colleagues on the Republican side on Capitol Hill, congressmen, I've got to realize the whole media and not read their own press clippings and not let that get to them.
You're right, Jeff. And if you need to be America first, if you're going to serve, and I think President Trump realized that, like you said, we had talked about it the first time he came in. I thought he'll extend an olive branch. Or he came from a world of where he was in business and he was the boss and he made the call and the team would execute the call. But up here, it's not that way. There's a reason that 9 of the 10 wealthiest counties in America are right around Washington, D.C. This is a system that is broken. It is milking the American taxpayers, and they're wasting our money. They don't care about the American taxpayer, but this American First electorate, I'm so grateful that the people saw and gave Donald Trump and gave us a chance to fix it. And I think Trump understands that he's got a shot. It's a short window here to bring in the right people, not to trust the system. And we've got to go in and make some changes. And it's going to be difficult. But to his credit, Like I said, he's a fast learner. I think that he knows that we cannot trust his system. He learned that the first time around. I think that's why he's so much more effective this time. We're seeing him move, and he doesn't care about PC, doesn't care about olive branches. He cares about correcting the issues. And I think the Democrats, like you said earlier, they're kind of doubling down on this failed argument, but the American people are fed up with it. And there are friends within our own, like you said, colleagues, Republican colleagues, who have to understand this is an American First movement. This is not about protecting your committee chairman, your election funds, your power in Washington, D.C., but it's put the power back out to the American people and prioritize their needs over your personal ambition.
Joined by Congressman Barry Moore here on the program. And the last question, but I think like this U.S. aid move and the way they shut that down, and even if it was at the behest of Doge or OPM or whatever, that you are starting to chip away at that so-called deep state, right? We talked about this, like why didn't Trump do more to sort of, you know, destabilize the deep state his first term? But I think now early on, he knows what to do, and he's sort of getting at it after it.
Yeah. And then remember too, the first time, I mean, they started with Russian collusion and they started with impeachment and all that. They don't have the House this time. Now, if the Democrats had a House, I think they were already working on drafting articles of impeachment. So thank the good Lord that we controlled the agenda up here in D.C. But people are not buying into Russian collusion right now. They're not buying into Trump needs to be impeached or he's a criminal. They've seen that play out, and they've seen how well it didn't work, and they see that Donald Trump has been standing the whole time and fighting for the people. He can ride off in the sunset and let this country burn. He's got properties all around the globe, and if he's willing to stay and fight, I think the American people need to be willing to stay and fight, and they're going to, and no matter what they say about him, I think the American people trust him more than they trust the media. They trust him more than they trust the talking heads, the Democrats, and I think that gives President Trump a special position to carry through on his promises, which I think he's going to deliver on, and he has a mandate to do just that. And so they did do a lot of distracting issues, a lot of things the first time around that were just totally, the Democrats, I think, it was some of their pretty dirty moves, but the American people are not buying into that, and they're fed up with it, and they want Trump to fix the issues and the problems in this country, and I think he's the man to do it.
Congressman, we got to leave it there, but thanks for hopping on this morning, and let's talk again soon.
All right, thank you, Jeff. I appreciate you.
All right, that was Congressman Barry Moore of the now 1st Congressional District. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Sadly in search of one step.